Beloved, there is no book like the Bible. The greatest and best book in the world, written by God Himself. Now, we have been looking together, I was about to say studying together. We haven't really studied, because that would take much time. Studying to me is when we all sit down and all turn the pages and exchange thoughts. My first experience with that was when I went to high school, and I shall never forget day two. On day one, they gave us a book, Shakespeare's Midsummer Night's Dream. And on day two, we came to class, and I was the first pupil that he called on, and he said, "Mr. Garnes." Well, nobody had ever called me that in my life. And then I stood up and said, "Oh, no, relax, be at ease. We were all men in this class." I was about 13 years old. And then he said, "Open your books. On page so-and-so, line so-and-so, Shakespeare says so-and-so. Mr. Garnes, do you agree with Shakespeare?" That never happened to me before. Agree with Shakespeare. But it's so nice when we can look into the Word of God and agree with what God says. No errors in the Word of God. Now, we've been looking together at the book of Hebrews, at those expressions that begin with two words, "let us." And the first one we saw in Hebrews 4:1, "let us be fearful, let us be cautious believers. Let us make sure that we are doing the thing that God has assigned for us." And then the last time we looked at, "let us be diligent, let us labor," verse 11. Now, before we go to today's subject, I want to just make a comment about being diligent. As we saw, God does not appreciate laziness. And every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ has a gift. I remember years ago, my children were young, and we received a notice. There will be a special meeting for the parents of the gifted children. God has no ungifted children. Every child of God has a gift. Question. Do you know what your gift is? And one is never too sick, too disabled, or too old to exercise his gift. I remember a sister in New York. She couldn't walk. She couldn't see very well. But oh, did she pray. And whenever we wanted some serious prayer about a subject, we went to that sister. Disability is no excuse for not serving the Lord. I remember years ago. You know, it's good that I can still remember years ago. When you can't do that, it's a bad sign. So far the Lord has sustained me. I remember years ago. And you know, I'm a lover of the keyboard instruments. Pianos, organs, and harpsichords and clavichords. Anything that you use your fingers to, I like. And there was this man, William Kirkpatrick, outstanding harpsichordist. There was only one harpsichordist that I knew that was better than he. That was Father Van Dusen. But Kirkpatrick could play. He was young then and I was young. Hadn't heard about him for years. And then just about, maybe 6 or 7 years ago, I read, William Kirkpatrick is giving a recital, a harpsichord recital. I said, I have to hear this. And I heard it. And he played. Didn't make one mistake. I said, you know, there's something funny. There's something different about him. there's something wrong. I can't figure out what it is. You know what I learned? For the last 2 years, he had lost totally his eyesight when he was playing harpsichord. There's no excuse for not serving the Lord, no matter if you have arthritis or whatever you have. We all are gifted. God has no ungifted children, and he expects us to perform, to work, and be diligent for him. So I ask you, beloved, what are you doing for the Lord? Now we come to today's subject. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who is passed through the heavens. That's the way that should be. He's not passed into heaven, he's passed through. And no, I'm waiting for that time. People are talking about landing on the moon, living in space. That doesn't trouble me at all. I'm waiting for the time when the Lord is going to take me up, and I'm going through space. Through the heaven. Don't you enjoy that thought? So that going into space today doesn't worry me at all. Great high priest that has passed through the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Hold fast. Let us hold fast. Now, what is our confession? We have to know what it is if we're going to hold fast to it. Romans chapter 10. Verse 9, we all know it. And whether we were aware of it or not, when we took the Lord as Savior, this is what we confessed. Hold fast your confession. Romans 10 and 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord. That's what we confessed. As we were seeing in the lesson today. Jesus as Lord. He's my Lord. And I like to say he's my man. Especially when election time comes around. He's my man. I vote for him. Confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart, not your head. A whole lot of people believe in their head that, there was a man named Jesus. He was a nice man. I even believe that he performed miracles. Not in the head, in the heart. Thou shalt be saved. Jesus as Lord and Jesus in the heart is our confession, and we are to hold fast to that confession. There are many today, especially in our schools of higher learning, and they don't believe that Jesus was Lord. Hold fast to the fact that Jesus is Lord. What does it mean when it says hold fast? How do you hold fast? 2 Samuel chapter 23. My habits have not changed. We turn to many scriptures. And as I've said before, the turning of those pages is music. Just listen to it. Just listen to that. That's music. 2 Samuel chapter 23. Hold fast. Chapter 23, verse 8. These are the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino the Esnite. He lifted up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. After him was Eleazar the son of Dodo the Elamite. One of three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. Now verse 10. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand sleeve of the sword. You couldn't let it go. That's what leaving means. You don't let go. That's, and we are to hold fast. We are not to let go. Now, to what are we to hold fast? Hold fast what? There's so many people claiming different things and so many different, what are you supposed to hold fast to? 1 Timothy chapter 5. Did I say to you, I think? Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. What are we to hold fast to? 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 21. Test all things. Don't believe everything you hear. Test them. And then hold fast that which is good. But how do you know what's good? You've tested. You come out with a result. A couple of results. And the word says hold fast to what's good. But how do you know what's good? Some people look at one thing. And to them it's good. Another person looks at it and it's not good. How do we know what is good? We are to hold fast to what is good. How do you know what's good? 1 Timothy chapter 2. You know, beloved, or I know you know, all the definitions that you want concerning the Bible are in the Bible. Did you know that? No, I'm not saying you shouldn't use a dictionary. I'm not saying you shouldn't consult Webster. But every definition, everything that's in the Bible is defined in the Bible. So what's good? I looked up Webster. I looked up Roger's Thesaurus. Oh, I looked up about four or five different books trying to find out what they have to say about good. And they say a lot of nice things, but they don't tell me what's good. Specifically, how do you know what's good? 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let's start at verse 1. I exhort that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Well, just in passing, beloved, are you praying for the enemy? We need to pray for those folks. The president is urging and speaking and so forth. We need to pray for him, his cabinet, his advisors, and the enemy. Giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and gravity. Verse 3. This is good. This, how do you know when a thing is good? This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. So how do you know when a thing is good? When it's acceptable to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if it is not acceptable to Him, then it's not good. And so when you go to school and go elsewhere and you invite it to this and invite it to the other, you know what's good. If it's good in the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have told you this before. At one of the hospitals where I worked at Christmas time, they usually gave parties. Different departments would give a party. Well, I had been to one of those. And you know, I didn't stay in the party for 5 minutes. I said, no, this is not for me. But I never went to another. And my associate, Arthur Williams was his name, oh, please to come to this one. This is going to be different. I said, Arthur, I don't go to Christmas parties. And I didn't go to this one. But I learned the day after that at this Christmas party, where they had smoking and drinking and so forth, a certain young lady who was our secretary in the clinic was talking to a certain young man, and her husband thought that she was giving him too much time. Christmas party now. So he got out a knife and slashed her across the face. I'm glad I wasn't there. That wasn't acceptable to the Lord. You define that which is good by determining whether it is acceptable to the Lord. Now let us look at some of the things that are acceptable to the Lord, things to which we must hold fast. Job chapter 2. Verse 3. The Lord said unto Satan, this is the Lord speaking now, have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth. My. You see, if I said that, all right. But God said it. Job must have been somebody. I wonder what he says about me. What does he say about you? The Lord said, there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God, escheweth evil, and still he holds fast his integrity, although thou be moved against him. We are to hold fast even when Satan is working against us. That's the time to hold fast. Verse 15. I'm sorry, chapter 13, verse 15. Job held fast. Oh my. Look at that verse. He has had adversity. All that he owned has been taken away. His children have been killed. Read this verse. 13 and 15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. He was holding fast, wasn't he? Can you imagine all your earthly property destroyed? Your loved ones taken away, and still you're trusting in God? And we are to hold fast in the midst of adversity. Hold fast to that which is acceptable to God. Chapter 27, please. Verse 6. Hold fast. My righteousness I hold fast and will not let it go. Don't let go. Hold fast. And as we read concerning that servant of David, he was tired, but he held fast so hard he couldn't let go. That's the way to hold fast. Have you ever held something so fast you get a cramp and can't let go? That's how we are to hold fast to that which is good, in spite of the adversity on every hand. Job said, I'm going to hold fast even if he kills me. That's faith. That is something. Though he slay me, I'm going to trust him. I'm going to hold fast. Another thing that we do well to hold fast to these days. 1 Corinthians 16. First Corinthians 16 and verse 13. Hold fast. First Corinthians 16 and verse 13. Watching. Stay awake. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Hold fast to the faith. Hold fast. What is the faith? The faith. What is the faith? If you don't know what it is, you don't know what to hold fast to. The faith is the truth, New Testament truth concerning the church and all associated with it. That's the faith. Hold fast to the faith. Read with me, please, in 1 Thessalonians 3 and 8. Hold fast. Hold fast to that which is good. That which is good is that which is acceptable unto the Lord. For now we live, 1 Thessalonians 3 and 8, if you stand fast in the Lord, hold on to the Lord. Don't let him go. In the midst of adversity or whatever happens, hold fast, stand fast in the Lord. Now they'll laugh at you. I've told you before, they've laughed at me. But it's an interesting thing. Do you know that most of those fellows that laughed at me are all dead and gone? I find that interesting. I wonder why. I think God has something. Hold fast. Hold fast. Hold fast to the truth. Philippians 1 and 27. Only let your manner of living be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs that ye stand fast in one spirit. How that is needed today for believers to stand fast in one spirit. I have told you of a friend of mine. Brilliant fellow he was. He was an engineer. Then he decided to study medicine. We would often talk. His one question to me was, Garnes, if you're all reading from the same Bible, why are there so many denominations? And I could never explain it to him. He died of a sudden heart attack. I'm sure he's not going to be with the Lord. Why? Because divisions among God. We are to hold fast and to be one in the Lord. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 1. And this verse has stuck with me from the time I was a young man. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Bewitched. And many do not hold fast because they are bewitched. The other fellow's grass looks greener. But you know the old story, huh? And I've experienced that. I remember when we lived on Fox 10 Drive. I always liked a nice lawn, and I would have the man come and spray and do this and that and the other. Lawn looked all right. But that fellow across the street, oh my. Oh, that was a beautiful lawn. And I went over to ask him, who cares for your lawn? And when I looked at his lawn looked worse than mine. And I looked back at mine, and mine looked fine. Hold on to the truths that you have, beloved. I remember we were in Jamaica. And this was an off day. There were no meetings. And Mr. Turner said, let's go around and see a little of the island. I said, fine, I'd be glad to. And we stopped at a certain place to have lunch and looked across the bay. Oh, what a beautiful sight. I said, Mr. Turner, can we go over there? He said, yes, I'll take you. And we drove and drove, and then he stopped. I said, well, why do we stop here? He said, this is the place that you wanted to be. And I looked, not impressive, but I looked across the bay. I said, what is that place? He said, that's where you came from. Hold fast to the truth, beloved. Those fellows talking and making a lot of noise, pay them no mind. You know, I've been impressed with one thing. Oh, what is this man's name? They had a series on him recently on TV. He wrote Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn. Clark Clemens, thank you. You know, one thing that impressed me is I listened. That man was miserable. Oh, he was a genius. But he was a miserable man. The other man's grass is not greener. Hold fast to the truth and the traditions and the teachings which you have. Now, I'm going to get in trouble. I'm very biased. In one respect, I don't think there's any gathering on earth like the assemblies. Nobody says amen. I'm the only one in here that thinks that. But I mean it. And I've been to other places. I've been to one place I came out tired. You know why? Because every 5 minutes you had to stand up and then sit. Stand and sit. And they preach no gospel. I like assemblies. And beloved, hold fast to the teachings that you get in the assemblies. And that's not a matter of pride either. That's a matter of obedience and subjection to the Word of God. Now read with me, please, in Colossians chapter 2. Hold fast. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 9. In him, the Lord Jesus Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Verse 18. Let no man deceive you of your or beguile you of your reward. In a voluntary humility, worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast the head. Hold fast the head. And in Ephesians we are told who the head is. The Lord Jesus Christ. And when we fail to hold fast the head, we get into serious and deep trouble. You remember when you were in school in biology and they gave you a frog and you picked the frog, it got into his spinal canal and destroyed his brain. Remember that? Oh, they don't do that anymore. Well, what animal do you use? How do you learn physiology? You destroy the frog's brain and put it there. And for a while, that frog's nervous system is in what we call a state of shock. Nothing happens. But after a while, there's activity and the frog begins to move. But the muscles don't move together. One hand wants to go to the right and the other wants to go up in the air. There's no coordination. And when we cease to hold fast to the Lord Jesus Christ, we just wander and scatter and accomplish nothing. I feel Joni Erickson. Is that name familiar? Yeah. What happened to her, and I, as far as I'm concerned, the most serious injury that the human body can sustain is an injury to the neck with a fracture and a breaking of the spinal cord. That's what happened to her. I remember one Friday evening, little girl, 10 years old, brought to the hospital. She had been diving. She dived in the shallow part of the pool, flexed her neck, severed her cord. And she came and said to me, "What's wrong with me? I can't move and I can't feel anything." And when we don't hold fast to the head, we are just like that. Useless. We need to hold fast to the head. That little girl came in on a Friday night, and on Saturday morning, she was dead. Hold fast to the head. 2 Thessalonians 2:15. "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the teachings. For many years, the true Bible teachings were lost. And in about 1825, around that time, God began to show men again the teachings of His Word. Hold fast the teachings." Which teachings? Well, the teachings that Paul taught. Not the modern teachings. The teachings rooted in this book. Hold fast to the teachings. Oh, Jesus Christ, yes, He was a nice man. He was a great man. Oh, He was a great thinker and a wonderful teacher. That's not enough. Was He God? Yes. And if you tell me that He wasn't God, I let you go. No holding fast. Hold fast to the teachings, those fundamental and basic teachings that we have in the Word of God. 2 Timothy 1:13. Hold fast the outline, the model of sound words. That's the beauty of bringing up these children in the assembly. They know sound words when they hear them. This happened with my second daughter and with my first granddaughter. I'd be in the office. I'd get this telephone call. "Daddy or Grandpa, I'm in a Bible discussion with some girls and they say so and so and so and so. It doesn't sound right." That's what you want. Then they say, "What scripture can I use to show that they're wrong?" But when we are brought up in the teachings and hold fast to the teachings, even our little ones know what sounds right. In fact, just 2 weeks ago, granddaughter number one called me up about some discussion they were having at work on the Bible. And said to me, "It doesn't sound right." Good. You want to recognize a sound and hold fast to those teachings which are true. Titus 1:9. holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught. Oh, young folks, hold fast to the word as you have been taught it among God's people. I was telling Brother George about a fellow there in New York, a young man. He's literally causing his mother's death. Every time I speak to her and we speak of him, tears come to her eyes. Professed to be saved, was baptized in assembly fellowship, and all of a sudden, he ceased to hold fast to the teachings. A wife, 4 children, he stays home in the day and refuses to work. He's not holding fast. All young folks, hold fast to the teachings of the Bible through school, at work, wherever you be. Hold fast. About 2 months ago, my nephew's wife called me from Texas and told me that she was very upset and her husband, my nephew, was very upset. He was anticipating a promotion and they promoted someone who was not as qualified as he was. They were very upset. What shall we do? I said, well, now, I don't know the situation. Let's just don't do anything. Let's just pray about the matter. That's all. I got a call 4 weeks later. This is Ruth calling. I called to tell you that William got promoted and he's promoted over the one that was promoting him last time. Hold fast? Sure, hold fast. Why does God put us through these testings? He puts us through these testings, as we read in Peter, that he might refine us. A lady was once watching a silversmith, and there was this ore. And he was stirring and stirring and stirring. She said to him, when do you stop stirring? He said, I stop stirring when I can see my reflection perfectly in the silver. Anybody here like the Lord yet? Well, then we need more stirring. It's just that easy. But hold fast. Don't give up. My time is up too. Little Brother John will be timing me soon. In conclusion, not quite conclusion. The book of the Revelation, please. Chapter 2. Verse 13. I know thy works. You know, that's one of the problems in the world today. With all these cases in court trying to decide who's right and who's wrong, nobody actually knows the other fellow's works. But the Lord said, I know. Why, he even knows what you're thinking. And I like it in Psalm 139. He knows what I'm going to think before I think it. Isn't that nice? And he's my Lord. I know thy works and where you dwell, even where Satan's throne is, and hold fast my name, and has not denied my faith. Hold fast to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 25. But that which ye have already, hold fast. Hold fast to the truth, beloved. Hold fast to this simple way of gathering. We don't have a big cathedral with a huge organ. We don't have. Hold fast to this. This is what's going to count in the long run. Chapter 3. Verse 3. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast. Well, that's the message today, beloved. Hold fast. Verse 11. Behold, I come quickly, hold fast. In conclusion, hold fast and don't let go of what you have. You have the best. You remember the fable about the dog and the bone? I'll read it for you. One day, a dog stole a piece of meat out of a butcher shop. You remember it? Somebody must remember it. Sure. And on his way to a safe place where he could eat it without interruption, he had to cross a footbridge over a stream. You get the picture? Meat in his mouth, crossing this bridge, there's water below. Looking down, he saw his own reflection in the water. Thinking that the reflection was another dog with another piece of meat, and being a greedy dog, he made up his mind to have that also, so he snarled and made a grab for the other dog's meat, and you know what happened. Hold fast to the truths which we have. I'd like us to sing one hymn, please. Stand up for Jesus. $5.89. Now, you must follow me. I've had trouble with this before. $5.89, did I say? Yes. Now, the words of $5.89 to the tune of $5.90. Do you follow me? All right. The words of $5.89, pardon me, to the tune of $5.90.